obviously you transform the tap, which had been there for a century, but then that you then got the contract, didn't you, for building the first hospitality box?
I think it was sent out to tender, and we got the job, and we put up the boxes, which are still standing there now, which is quite a miracle, I presume. But you know, the actual structural side of it, because it was ash, and of course the ash is not a great ground to build on anyway. But we ended up piling it, and I think there are 60-foot piles out there. Like when I say with piles of about 2 foot in diameter, so there was a lot of work went into that. But I think they've been very successful. They look nice, and it's part of King's Home now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we move on to the professional area? What involvement you had with that, or on the transition from amateur to the professional?
Area? Yeah. Well, when we went professional, Richard Hill turned up as coach. Is that right? Hmm. Yeah. Richard Hill was here. So basically, going from team secretary, I then became the professional team manager, which I did for 4 or 5 years. And then obviously the introduction of Tom Walkinshaw, because in those days you basically couldn't go forward if you didn't have somebody who could inject some capital into the club to run the playing side of it.
Before Tom arrived, the club organisation was changed, wasn't it, and turned into GRFC Limited.
Yeah.
And I think you were elected to the board of that.
I was on the board with, well, I think David Ford was the chairman in those days.
Yeah.
And John Hall, John Milner, Mike Warner was on the board.
Right.
And it was a good bunch of guys, and these were guys who have always been very enthusiastic about Gloucester, and you know, been involved with the club for a long, long time. And that's why Gloucester Rugby Club Limited was formed, wasn't it?
That's right.
But I think as time moved on, it was quite obvious that we weren't going to generate enough money to do what we wanted to do. And I don't know whether people know, but I think Stuart Barnes from Bath actually introduced Tom Walkinshaw to Gloucester. Whether that's true or not, but I think anyway Tom Walkinshaw arrived anyway, and he was involved with the Orange Racing
Arrows.
And he arrived, a lovely bloke, but quite a difficult bloke to deal with, but we all got on well together, and without him we probably wouldn't be where we are now. I think all these clubs need to have somebody who's got that amount of capital to put into the club to keep it going.
And what was your relationship with Tom? Because you've inferred there, he's quite a difficult man, could be a difficult man to get on with. You managed okay?
Oh yeah, I mean, as you know, Tank, I can deal with most people, one way or another. He was always a hard businessman. He was very, very enthusiastic about Gloucester being successful, and he wanted things done his sort of way. And there's a little bit of a difference between motor racing and rugby football. But to be fair to Tom, he did a brilliant job, and it helped us to get where we are now. So it was good, yeah. I mean, if we had a new player, when we recruited people like Vickery and Woodman, who came up from Cornwall, I did the contracts with Tim, I can't think of his name.
Solicitor, yeah.
Tim, he was a solicitor in London.
He's on the board, yeah.
He's on the board with us. Yeah, he did all the employment contracts. And another little story I can tell you about being team manager in those days and recruiting people and doing reports and doing contracts. We did a contract for Phil Vickery. Anyway, we met up at Stowe on the Wold to have a meeting with the board, because Tom used to live up at Chipping Norton, so he didn't have to travel too far. So we had prepared a contract for Phil Vickery with his agent and Tim, the solicitor. I can't think of the solicitor's name. And this contract was for a 2-year contract. And this guy was a pretty formidable player, wasn't he? So we go up to the hotel in Stowe. We sit down. All the board is sat there. Tom's at the end. Looking a bit gruff and whatever. But lovely man, really. Anyway, I presented the contract with Richard Hill fulfill victory. And Tom's exact words were, "I'm not paying that." So I thought, oh dear, oh dear. Anyway, all the boards sort of sank under the table and didn't say a lot. So I just, as I am, piped up and said, "Look," I said, "I think this guy is going to be a really good rugby player. I think he'd play for England. I think he was in the England squad anyway. And I said, I think he'll probably captain England and become a British Lion," which he actually did. Anyway, Tom said, "No, all the board agreed. It was too much money. We had to go back and renegotiate with Phil Vickers around the year." So, right, I said, we'll do that. I said, I don't think we'll keep him. I think he'll move. And the next day, we were working up. I was working up, digging a hole somewhere up near Cirencester with a couple of my guys, and the phone rang. "John, it's Tom." "Well, what does he want now?" "Saturday morning, I'm working. John, come and see me." I said, "When?" "Now." So I jump in the van, go up and see Tom at Chippendall, and he said, "You were right," he said. "Get him in on Monday, we'll sign him." So I thought it was a difficult exercise, but the result of the exercise was absolutely brilliant. And Vickery became a very, very, very prominent and successful Gloucester and international rugby player.
Tom kept the committee going for 3 or 4 years after he took
it. Yeah, we did, yeah, yeah. I mean,
how did that work?
Well, he bought a bloke called Hamish Brown, do you remember? Hamish was here for a bit. I used to do a lot with him, Hamish. And but even in those days, we didn't have a lot of money. It was hard work. But we did keep, we actually kept the committee going. And they used to make quite a few decisions on the general running of the club and whatever. Because I remember booking the coach in the hotel once, and I thought, I rang up the hotel, and I rang up Margins, and they said, "No, you can't have a coach if you haven't paid your bill." So I said, "Oh dear." So I then rang the hotel up in Oral. No, you can't have it because you didn't pay that. You were very long late paying next time. So at one stage, Mr. Fiddler had £8,000 on his credit card for Gloucester coaches and hotels. I got it back, but that was the sort of thing I was prepared to do. And I really enjoyed it, and really enjoyed it. And on the other side of being team manager, we had a nice big house in Cheltenham in Old Bath Road. I mean, I started off with Terry Faraloa staying with me. Richard Tom stayed with us. Philippe and his brother Raf stayed with us for 3 months. Ian Jones and his family stayed with us, and they all stayed with us as a staging post before they got their accommodation, which I loved. It was good fun. It was good to have, and all the guys would come over and have a cup of tea. So not only were we involved here, we were involved socially as well, which I really enjoyed.